$25 plus $350 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Tax problems, IRS notices, credit card debt? Get professional help from local attorney Chelsea Victor at 303-702-0591. The Law Office of Chelsea Victor provides affordable, compassionate, and professional representation. Call today for a free initial consultation. The Law Office of Chelsea Victor, redefining legal representation one client at a time. That's 303-702-0591, 303-702-0591.
Well, Dr. Dan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is our good friend Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and we're going to talk about some of the things going on in the United States, the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And Joel does a great job of crystallizing the issues in a way that you're not going to see covered in the controlled media. So without further ado, good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. It's always good to be with you.
And what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, we're going to be talking about the gay marriage battle. The courts have taken control. Liberal California judges have a habit of overturning voter initiatives, often with disastrous social consequences. The two most egregious examples are, one, when they gave illegal aliens free access to public or benefits, and this week overturned the voter ban on homosexual marriage. Of course, in principle, judges should be able to overrule majority will, but only when that will threatens to violate a fundamental right of individual citizens, when rights are correctly defined. And that's the core problem in the current battle over gay marriage, whether there is a fundamental right to any form of association between two persons of the same sex, labeled as a marriage, and have it recognized by government. Actually, two separate issues. Some of the blame for this whole issue of false rights can be laid at the feet of the Constitution's failure to provide a working definition of fundamental rights. This allows activist judges to falsely claim that all persons in this country, even illegals, have, quote, equal rights to public benefits. And it also gives a wide berth to judges like Vaughn Walker, himself a homosexual, in this week's ruling to claim that homosexuals have an equal right to marriage just like anyone else.
Also, the judge has a vested interest in this thing. He's not an impartial individual. Shouldn't he have recused himself, saying, I'm a homosexual, I can't honestly, certainly adjudicate this, because after all, I have a vested interest in this?
Well, the problem is, of course, that every judge is going to be on one side of the issue or the other. And so if there's a heterosexual judge, they can say, well, all heterosexuals have to recuse themselves because they have a vested interest in being for Proposition 8. So it kind of cuts both ways here. The protectors of Vaughn Walker claim that he didn't seek the case, that it was assigned to him. But we know that the politically connected Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which has 29 judges on it, they often go hunting and picking for judges who they know will give a predictable outcome, and I think that's what happened in this case. But I'm going to set a little bit of background on the issue of fundamental rights, because this is so important for conservatives to understand. We have a long-held conservative notion that the Bill of Rights added to the Constitution the full range of protection of rights. This is incorrect. In fact, it only lists a few common law civil rights that were prevalent at a time. Even this has provided a bulwark against tyranny for over two centuries. But without a legally tight and comprehensive definition of rights, the Constitution fails to prohibit the addition or creation of false rights through interpretation for politically favored groups, and that is exactly what's happening today. Let me demonstrate this, how California courts have created conflicting rights. In saying that illegal immigrants have a right to free medical care and public education, the courts have created a legal structure that forces one group of citizens to subsidize another through the involuntary taking of taxpayers' personal property, their money, and redistributing it to others against the owner's will. Now, true fundamental rights cannot exist with such conflicting criteria. Otherwise, the courts could not adjudicate between the demands of conflicting parties without acting arbitrarily. So, for a right to be truly fundamental to all and non-conflicting, all persons must be able to claim that right simultaneously without forcing anyone else to serve their needs. For example, all cannot claim the right to medical care, education, or welfare benefits without forcing someone to provide the labor, the facilities, the supplies. So these cannot be true fundamental rights. In the same way, there's no right to a job, lest put the employer in a situation of compulsion. That's why it's always inappropriate for government to mandate criteria for employment or take everyone's tax money and support benefits for selected minorities. In a raw democracy, without limit, and that's what we've got nowadays, because we're really the courts have allowed Congress to legislate almost anything, and there's really no limits on the power of the majority to take money from the productive class. The magnet of free benefits eventually corrupts more and more participants until the system collapses from the lack of productive payers. So in principle, even if one person is compelled to serve another's needs by government, it is wrong unless he is contracted to do so. And failing to understand this crucial point of law is what leads to inevitable conflicts in society. Socialism, which legalizes forced redistribution, is inherently a violation of fundamental property rights and should always be forbidden, outright forbidden, in constitutional law. So what are true fundamental rights? Well, you have the right to life, as long as you don't force others to serve your needs, provide food, etc. The right to accumulate, hold, and control property, if you've gained it by voluntary exchange of labor and money. The right to voluntarily contract with others, the right to speak freely on one's own or contractual property, the right to self-defense when not acting to aggress others. You'll notice that I had to add various clarifying conditions to these statements to keep them correct. That's the problem with excessive generalizations about rights. You know, people say, well, we have the right to free speech, but you really don't have the right to say anything. You can't yell fire in a darkened movie theater, because you have now violated other people's rights to a safe exit and things. And besides, you're not doing it on your own property. You're doing that in a public setting. So people tend to think that rights are absolute under all circumstances, but they're not. Individual rights for crowds of people on public property, for example, are much more complex, beyond the scope of this briefing I'm doing today. And I have written extensively on this in my law and government section on my website, joelskousen.com. So people can go there. I've written a lot on how to establish the ideal state with a full set. What I've really done is taken the constitutional principles and I have put them into detailed, strong legal language with specific prohibitions of government. You know, the Constitution and fathers, they had very limited time and they believed that, well, we'll just have enumerated powers. That's all they can do. But, of course, the courts begin to immediately expand those and take the Commerce Clause and other things to give expanded power. So there is no substitute stand for actual enumerations of prohibitions so that you don't have to worry about term limits. It doesn't matter if you even have a communist elected. You can't do anything because it's prohibited.
The power of the government is limited by the change of the Constitution. Too bad we've taken them off. We'll be right back.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. and we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facilities. This way, we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality products available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest is Joel Skousen, and Joel, you go right ahead.
Well, we're talking about the concept of fundamental rights and how it's important to have a working definition, ironclad criteria, so that activist judges like Vaughn Walker can't create a right to marry. Actually, the legal team challenging Proposition 8 concentrated only on this right, well, not only on this right to marry, but that was the primary challenge. Actually, there are two separate aspects of rights involved, not one. The first is the universal right to engage in a voluntary contractual living arrangement, which anyone can do regardless of sexual orientation, and they may call it a marriage or anything they want. However, this is a separate issue from the claim that government or the public must recognize that live-in association as a marriage and give special protections to that civil union. In fact, there's only one reason for government to have cognizance over marriage, and that is has to do with children, which a homosexual relationship cannot produce. So the second aspect is when a child, a unique life, is created by that man-woman relationship, there comes into existence a voluntary, involuntary obligation on the part of both parents to serve the needs of that child until it reaches some form of ability to be self-sustaining. Now, this is the same concept of tort law that binds the perpetrator of an accident to his victim or the victim's property until restitution is provided. Although a person may exercise his freedom to drive a vehicle or their freedom to have sexual relationships, once that person exercises his freedom, he is no longer free to walk away from the consequences of those actions. Consequences of free acts provide involuntary obligations that must be fulfilled later on. So in principle, the only legitimate role of government is to defend the fundamental rights of all its participants, including children, and thus it has a duty here to see that a child's rights are protected through gestation to maturity, and by extension, that the espousal support is maintained by the other partner during that period. Now, that's the root of all government laws regarding marriage and its protection. So when Judge Vaughn Walker claims the right to marry is a fundamental right, he's combining two issues which cannot be joined. The right to have a union is not the controversy. The right to force government to recognize that union as a marriage is not a fundamental right, and that has to do with the cognizance that government has to take over protecting the rights of children. Howard Mintz reports that in the trial in January, a high-powered legal team, including former Republican Solicitor General Theodore Olson. Now, that tells you something about the pro-homosexual people who held high position under the George H.W. Bush administration. He put on weeks of evidence, they argued, that to prove that Proposition 8 violated the rights of same-sex couples. They presented experts to testify on a host of issues from the history of discrimination against gays and lesbians to the scope of gay and lesbian political clout. These witnesses testified to the harm to gays and lesbians caused by being denied the right to marry. Among other things, the plaintiffs sought to debunk the argument that California's civil union or domestic partnership laws provided equal status to same-sex couples who say they've been relegated to second-class citizenship. Well, all of this was music to the ears of Vaughn Walker, who accepted all of that and incorporated most of it into his 135-page ruling. Throughout the case, Olson argued that the ban discriminated against one segment of population but not denying them the fundamental right to marry, and that same-sex marriage was no threat to homosexuals. Well, the no-threat argument is simply irrelevant. It doesn't have anything to do whether or not it's a threat to heterosexuals or not. It's the fact of whether or not government is required to recognize and give legal status to something that there's no logical reason for government to take cognizance over.
But the thing is that homosexuals have the right to live together, to be, for all intents and purposes, from a legal point of view, to be joined together if they wanted to in California. So basically it's all about calling it marriage and saying, well, it's just perfectly normal. We're not different than anybody else. And the difficulty is they are different than other people. Certainly one in three lesbians is going to get breast cancer. Nobody ever mentions that. If you care about lesbians, you would tell them, don't you realize one in three lesbians, girls, is going to get a breast cancer? Totally suppressed in America. Certainly that male homosexuals die much younger than the average individual. If you care about these people, you tell them what you're doing is different, and it's disastrous as far as your health is concerned, but that's totally suppressed by the controlled media that wants to encourage this genocidal activity. Go right ahead.
Absolutely true. Homosexuals know this. They've never been satisfied with civil unions because civil unions don't allow them to harness the power of government to force others into accepting their union as a marriage.
And that's all it's about. It's about perception, and it is not normal. It is an abnormal activity as in violation of the laws of God, but we'd never dare mention God in our courts today.
That's right. Well, there's a special status that is granted to marriage under law. They want that special recognition as marriage so that they can expand their status as an accepted and protected minority from discrimination. They want legal sanctions against anyone who disapproves of them. As I've explained in past briefings, anti-discrimination laws cut two ways. First, they grant extra rights to some, and two, they deny to others the fundamental right to make exclusionary judgments about who they will or will not associate with or do business with. Now, we call that discrimination, and everybody thinks discrimination is evil, but it's, in fact, it's a fundamental right. It's the right to make discriminatory judgments. If you don't have the right to make discriminatory judgments, you have no right to say, I don't want to associate with you. You do have that right. Government cannot force you to associate, but when we pass anti-discrimination laws, you actually force individuals to lose a fundamental right to decide with whom they will associate. You can't run your life without making exclusionary judgments. Even if you claim you don't judge, everybody does, even if only subconsciously. And without that core freedom, you aren't free to hire or fire who you wish. You aren't free to choose with whom you will rent or to whom you will rent a house or a room, or who you will serve in business. And even though most would decry making exclusionary decisions based upon race, for example, you can't lose one type of freedom to judge without opening the door to government to taking away any such right. And that's exactly what's happening, as you know, Stan. One by one, minority groups are getting more power. And first of all, it was you can't discriminate against women. Then you can't discriminate against race. And then you can't discriminate against overweight people. Then you can't discriminate for age. You can't discriminate for sex. You can't discriminate. And where's there to judge anymore? You simply, eventually, where this is leading is you have to accept anybody who comes before you in business or to be hired. It's like free speech. Even though we may disapprove of the way some people may say things, what they may say, or how they may judge, we must defend to the death their right to judge, their right to say it. Conservative Charles Cooper led the defense and unfortunately got led into the trap of arguing that it is, quote, reasonable to fear that allowing same-sex marriage would undermine homosexual marriage. Well, you know, you can't really base something on whether or not it's going to undermine homosexual marriage. Walker dismissed this argument out of hand by proclaiming that he had no social empirical evidence. Well, of course not. It's just like the drug companies aren't going to spend money trying to prove that an herb is beneficial. Neither are the liberal sociologists going to spend, and government's not going to grant or give grant money to do a study on the damage of homosexual marriages to heterosexual marriage. And there are not going to be any studies. And that's the difference, why you don't want to get in a trap in the legal of trying to prove the improvable. Cooper did correctly note that it was self-evident that the purpose of marriage was procreating and raising children. Well, it's not the exclusive purpose, but it is, of course, one of the main purposes. He says you don't have to have evidence to prove that the purpose of marriage is to bear and raise children. Otherwise, marriage is a mere live-in relationship of convenience. But he should have actually made the difference. You know, he failed to make the difference of Judge Walker. Your questions about right to marry are... There's two separate issues here. They have the right to live together with whom they want. They have the right to call it a marriage if they want to call it a marriage. But this is a completely separate issue of whether or not government shall be forced to recognize that. And what that does to give special advantage to homosexuals to claim that they are acceptable within society.
Well, it is really an attack on the entire Judeo-Christian concept and foundation of the family, which is the basic building block of society. It's basically an attack on society. They want to destroy society, and boy, are they doing a great job of it. But the homosexual power has never been their own. It has been the power of the great tax-exempt foundations and the people of great wealth who are doing this sort of thing. And the Bush administration, which was full of homosexuals, how could that be if the Bush administration was such a strong, conservative Christian organization? The number one man selecting people for advancement in the military under the George W. Bush was a homosexual. This was well known in Washington, D.C., not known across America, because the Christians who were supporting that administration might have asked, how could that possibly be? And why is my minister and the Christian establishment supporting George W. Bush, who supports homosexuals? Incidentally, Theodore Olson's wife, died on September 11th. Barbara Olson, we interviewed her many times, and he came up with some incredible lying stories about telephone calls he got from her. You wonder what really happened that morning, but that's another story. Go ahead.
Well, a lot of conservatives don't realize, too, there was a large contingent of homosexuals in the Reagan administration.
Sure.
And and that's in large part because who was in charge of personnel? It was George H.W. Bush and his cadre who ran the determined who was going to be hired within the White House. That was part of the deal the major news media made with Reagan in order to accept him as a presidential candidate, to downplay their threat to defeat him. Well, believe me, granting gays the status of marriage will give them grounds to claim immunity from discrimination as well as equal time to promote their lifestyle in every public forum available, including public schools. This is precisely what happened once Massachusetts legalized gay marriage. The only ultimate protection for this kind of right to propagandize children in public schools is to make all education private so that people can evade indoctrination and take their education support dollars with them to whatever school, public or private, they choose. Now, under a true philosophy of fundamental rights in government, you can have public schools, but they have to be user fee driven. They cannot use anybody's tax money who isn't attending those public schools. And that puts them on equal basis with private schools. I think it's very important that, if we're going to solve these long-term problems within our country of the dumbing down of American people, we have to break the monopoly that government has on taxing people to pay for public schools. Well, Judge Walker, in his 135-page opinion, struck down the California's proposition with the vehemence of a partisan. And as I explained, being openly homosexual on the gay scene in San Francisco. He was a partisan player and should have recused himself. Howard Mintz added that most legal experts have not expected the courts to allow same-sex couples to begin marching down the aisle immediately, but Walker said there would be irreparable harm to couples to allow Proposition 8 to remain in force immediately, allowed marriages to start to go forward. The ruling originally by the California Supreme Court when they upheld Proposition 8 did not undo the 18,000 same-sex couples who were married prior to the passage of and they should have, actually. They should have just said that these marriages aren't recognized by government. I mean, they can still call themselves married, but they're not recognized by government. Because that would present two different classes of rules under which people, you know, you can't have a group of 18,000 who suddenly have all these marriage right benefits and people who are, you know, claim to be married after that time have no benefits. You just... this isn't a matter of ex post facto law. This is a matter of simply whether or not government recognizes certain things. Not a fundamental right, as I said. Well, the case is already headed for appeal and will certainly end up in the Supreme Court. The Ninth Circuit is expected to uphold Walker's judgment, but nothing certain when dealing with the higher courts. Professor Clifford Roski at the University of Utah analyzed, and I've got this extensive quotes in my brief.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen here at the American Freedom Network.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Appointed Senator Michael Bennett under a cloud of controversy. Here's Mark with our report.
That's right, Susan. A number of controversial Bennett Senate votes are now coming to light, and Bennett is drawing the ire of constituents who feel betrayed. Senate roll calls show that Bennett voted against giving senior citizens on Social Security a cost of living increase, but he voted to give Wall Street banks a bailout. And finance reports show that Bennett has received more than $500,000 from those same Wall Street banks. Also drawing sharp criticism, votes Bennett made against new restrictions on credit card companies who exploit consumers and against a bill to help people protect their homes from foreclosure. Susan?
Thanks, Mark. We'll continue to follow this as it develops.
Paid for by New Leadership in Colorado. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. New Leadership in Colorado is responsible for the content of this advertising. TheBennettRecord.com.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
We Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And before we go on, Joel, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they could get a copy of the World Affairs Brief and how they could subscribe to it. Because, of course, it comes out every Friday and has all sorts of great and very important information to help people analyze what's going on. Because, believe me, the controlled media is doing everything they can to alter our perception of what's going on, confuse us so we can't see things clearly. Go right ahead.
Yes, we try to cover all of the major issues each week in the World Affairs Brief and specialize in those things in which major pieces of information have been withheld from the public. That's how the media distorts the news, mostly by omissions, and that's very easy to do. That's why the alternate news sources on the Internet, such as yours and mine, are very, very important to people. There is a modest subscription price for my newsletter to support my work. People can receive a free sample copy by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. If they go to the website, worldaffairsbrief.com, they can see a lot of free information, past issues and special issues I've done on government cover-ups. That's one of the best evidences of conspiracy in this world, about government covering up wrongdoing. And lots of things for people to see. I also cover all the books that I've written, such as The Secure Home, my major opus from my architectural days when teaching people how to prepare and have a totally self-sufficient and high-security residence. Also have a book called Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, an architectural book, How to Implement a High-Security Shelter in the Home. That's basically architectural plans on how to build a safe room within an existing basement. Now, all of these books are available from my website, or if you want to support Radio Liberty, they're also available from you, Dr. Stan.
They are, by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and simply ask for Joel Skousen's books. There are three of them.
Well, going right back to this excellent report by Professor Clifford Roski. He said the process of the Ninth Circuit is pretty involved. There are 29 active judges, so they don't all sit at once. Three would be randomly selected to review the case, and then if the judges disagreed with those three judges, they would decide to hear it as a whole court. But the whole court's so big and widely distributed around the West that they don't actually sit as a whole court, so 11 more judges would be randomly selected to hear the entire case. The interviewer asked, what if the Ninth Circuit overturns the trial judge's decision and upholds Prop 8? Roski predicts the U.S. Supreme Court wouldn't touch it. He said, but this is something that I don't think a lot of people appreciate. In general, all of the justices on the U.S. Supreme Court don't like to resolve large social controversies. They don't want to be accused of being activist judges, whether they're conservative or liberal. And if they can avoid these issues, it's quite likely that they will. He's absolutely right. It took several cases for them to get to the point of ruling that the Second Amendment was an individual right. I mean, there were tens and tens of cases over the years where they could have. But they tend to rule on everything as narrow as possible, leaving it open for some other future case. And, they should clarify clearly and completely controversies within the Constitution, though they should do it, of course, toward the direction of the intent of the Founding Fathers. He asked, what if the Ninth Circuit agrees with the trial judge and that Prop 8 violates the U.S. Constitution? And his answer was, if the Ninth Circuit agrees with Judge Walker's opinion, it's almost certain that the Supreme Court will have to accept the case because there is a conflict between two different circuits. The Eighth Circuit years ago reached the opposite conclusion that people could, in fact, ban homosexual marriage. And so if the Ninth Circuit says that's a violation, then the Supreme Court has to take the case because then you have two conflicting precedents in court. Who in the Supreme Court, question, could cast the deciding vote? He says Judge Anthony Kennedy, who in cases in 1996 and again in 2003 was a swing vote in favor of two gay rights issues. If he continues this track, he could be the fifth vote to strike down Proposition 8. But it's not at all clear, he said. And in fact, there's some signals in the most recent case that he wrote marriage was a different issue for gays than gay rights in terms of discrimination and other things. Now, the one thing Roski's analysis misses is the Kagan factor, who was just confirmed yesterday, Thursday. Her confirmation to the Supreme Court was crucial to the Democrats' plan to forever alter American conservative values. The five Republicans who supported Kagan were Senators Susan Collins and Olympia Snow, no surprise there, two left liberals from Maine, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who has been very disappointing and has gone against so many good things recently, Richard Lugar of Indiana, an old establishment hack, and Judd Gregg of New Hampshire. New Hampshire, despite being a very freedom-oriented state, has some very, very bad judges and some very, very bad legislators. Well, there's also the issue of what Senate Republicans didn't say about Kagan that could have derailed her nomination to the Supreme Court. Powerful arguments had emerged about the unsuitability of Kagan for the Supreme Court, and the weak kneed Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee refused to use them. They were important because of Kagan's deliberate lying about her true positions on law and the Constitution. These lies, claiming to be strict constitutionalists, claiming to be, you know, things that she wasn't, denied Republicans much of the substantive arguments that they could have used proving that she'd been a radical activist lawyer. But Larry Klayman, founder of Judicial Watch, has filed an ethics complaint seeking to have the Supreme Court disbar Elena Kagan from practicing before the court she aspires to join. Now, that's a moot point at this point now that she's been confirmed to the court, so I don't think this is going to go anywhere. But apparently, in prior actions as a solicitor general during the Clinton administration, she had fraudulently altered official findings of a medical expert panel in order to support the practice of partial birth abortion. And the court had accepted this as if it was the language of the expert panel from the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, when in fact she had altered it to make the conclusions different than what the actual report said. This is grounds for disbarment before and prohibiting someone from acting before the court. Well, a simple search of the High Court's records also revealed that Kagan's name's come up at least 9 times on dockets involving Obama eligibility issues, the citizenship issue. She was the Solicitor General for all the suits against Obama filed with the Supreme Court to show proof of that he was a natural-born citizen. He owes her big time. All of the requests were denied by the courts, due in no small part to the Solicitor General panning all of those requests and encouraging the courts not to hear them. There was also more cover-up on Obama's lack of the citizenship. It seems to be a coincidence, the State Department says, that even though they claim in their website that all passport records are available, from 1925 to the present, they claim that, passport records for Obama and his mother were destroyed during the 1980s.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
For the finest in home security, you want Fine Line Security, a family-owned business. They install, service, and repair any CCTV system, including DVRs. Free estimates are available. Free security evaluations, including existing systems, emergency repairs, and loaner equipment. Call Scott at 303-550-8202. They also have lease options available for CCTV security. Always professional, neat, and excellent workmanship. Home automation wireless solution for doors and driveways also available. 303-550-8202. Fine Line Security. Tax problems, IRS notices, credit card debt? Get professional help from local attorney Chelsea Victor at 303-702-0591. The law office of Chelsea Victor provides affordable, compassionate, and professional representation. Call today for a free initial consultation. The law office of Chelsea Victor, redefining legal representation one client at a time. That's 303-702-0591, 303-702-0591.
Zabel Construction is a family-owned and operated business. They're able to handle the big jobs and the small ones, from additions and remodels to decks and drywall. Over 45 years of combined experience, they're reliable and trustworthy. For a free estimate, email them at zabelconstruction@hotmail.com. That's Z-A-B-E-L construction@hotmail.com, or call Mark at 303-579-5325. Licensed and insured, Zabel Construction.
Brush Housing Authority reminds our listeners that respect and care for senior citizens is everyone's responsibility. This summer, when temperatures can be dangerous, you can help prevent a tragedy by going to a senior's home or apartment to see if their air conditioning or fan is in proper working order. Your help is needed and appreciated, and it only takes a minute. That's from Brush Housing Authority, who says our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families. That's Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 842-5046. That's 842-5046.
Well, Dr. Stanback here, our guest, Joel Skousen. And Joel, you go ahead and finish up.
Well, it's interesting that WorldNet Daily did a Freedom of Information request of the State Department to release passport records of Obama's mother, Ann Durham. But the records they claim for the years surrounding Obama's 1961 birth are missing. I mean, it seems like the government, they were basically trying to find out if she, in fact, had a passport and had traveled to Kenya, which would have confirmed the fact that the stories that he was, in fact, born in Kenya. But the State Department claims the 1980s General Service Administration directive resulted in the destruction of many passport applications. Now, this is just a lie. Why would there be a directive from the GSA to destroy just certain passports and other non-vital passport records? I mean, clearly, and do it selectively. It's interesting, though, that what they did find out in the Freedom of Information request was that, for some explanation, in her 1968 application, the name of her son was blocked off of her application and crossed off. Obama's mother was apparently attempting to separate her son's name from her passport. In those days, the children were on the same passport as the parents. Because the communists had come to power in Indonesia, they were going to live in Indonesia with a new husband who was an Indonesian national. Communists in Indonesia were very hostile to Americans. School records indicate that Obama's parents arranged for him to become an Indonesian citizen, adopting his stepfather's name. No dual citizenship is allowed in Indonesia. Thus, Obama would have been forced to use his Indonesian passport when returning to the States and would have had to reapply for U.S. citizenship. No such reapplication is on record, hence the need for a cover-up at various levels of government and at all universities where he attended as a foreign student. So the evidence keeps mounting, Dr. Stan, that we have a president who is not a natural-born citizen in America. And of course,
That gives his handlers even more control over him. Any time they could expose him for that and for other misdeeds, and perhaps even for some sexual certainly things he may very well have done. They have so many things on him that he has to go along with what he's told to do.
Yes, and of course it's a willing, you know, partnership. He wants to get ahead in life, and he wasn't going anywhere as a communist reactionary lawyer, and so when the powers that be, I think, recruited him at Columbia University, or before Columbia, to work in the CIA, he accepted, and his attendance at Columbia was, in fact, a front. He was there only on occasion. It was most of the time traveling, traveled to Pakistan, and was working the CIA special undercover operations in terms of infiltrating Muslim organizations in the Middle East. And so there's a lot of cover-ups that is involved there, and as you say, this is how they get people to come into the dark side of government, how they maintain leverage over them. But going to another issue here on the Arizona immigration law, we find, as I've covered in prior briefings, that various states have nearly identical languages as Arizona, Missouri, New Jersey, Delaware, And those states have been enforcing the law on illegal aliens, and during traffic stops have been checking immigration papers, and yet the media has taken no cognizance of them, and nor has the federal government. But Arizona, of course, because they made it a big issue in passing this law, the government decided to attack Arizona's law, as well as the ACLU and several other Latino organizations. But the defense team in Arizona probably needs a review of Constitutional Law 101. Judge Bolton should have picked up on it had she not been so eager to overturn major portions of the new law. But Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution clearly says that in all cases affecting a state where a state shall be a party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. In other words, the Supreme Court is tasked with deciding cases between the federal government and the states, which this clearly is. Now, there were other plaintiffs that were not the federal government, but the Justice Department joined in making this, joined in this case, which made it a state versus federal issue, and so the Supreme Court should have taken original jurisdiction. Meanwhile, there have been protesters sitting in at the offices of Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio, noted for his willingness to jail criminals. Mexican drug cartels have put a price on his head. It's not the first time. But Arpaio is undaunted. He insists he'll go ahead with the crime sweep targeting illegal immigrants, and it's been very effective. 64 people have been arrested so far in the past 2 weeks in a two-day crime and immigration sweep, and six of them are illegal immigrants. That's considerably down from the statistics in the past. There have been 17 such sweeps, and he's come up with over 1,000 total arrests, and 60% of those were illegal immigrants. What this means is that illegals are leaving Arizona in large numbers, heading west and north to easy states like Utah and California. Utah kind of has a selective immigration enforcement policy that is not lost on and is telegraphed around the nation to illegal immigrants. Perhaps the most egregious case of selective enforcement relative to illegals took place this past month, where state officials have an unofficial policy of looking the other way. Two state employees blew the whistle on over 1,000 illegals who were getting food stamps in the states. Their superiors would not enforce the law of removing it from the list, so they leaked the entire list to the public. But they made the mistake of also leaking personal data, such as telephone numbers, addresses, and Social Security numbers. Copies of the list were sent to the media and law enforcement agencies demanding that the illegals be deported. Instead of being deported, the two employees were ferreted out, fired, and charged with a crime, while virtually no illegals were being investigated and deported. The media, of course, had a heyday with the story, making the illegals out to be the victims and the leakers the bad guys. One conservative state legislature is preparing a bill to give protection to state employee whistleblowers who expose illegal aliens. So
I think it's so vitally important, Joel, that people understand this is all being financed in large part by the Ford Foundation, which is financing the organizations for illegal immigrants. Why? Because they hate America, because they hate American sovereignty, because they want to merge us into a one-world government and create a multicultural, multilingual society here in the United States. Hey, we're out of time. God bless you, Joel. Thanks very much. Look forward to talking to you next month. Or should, next week. Bye-bye.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Jambalaya reminds listeners that each year many seniors are overlooked. Show how much you care this winter by offering a ride to a religious service, a trip shopping, or check and see if their heating system is up to par. Help protect our seniors and remember a senior today. That's Jambalaya's. Enjoy the specials listed on our complete menu. Open hours that are convenient, so stop by soon for a family treat. That's Jambalaya's, 109 Colorado Avenue in Marino. And mention this message for 10% off. Call ahead for large orders, 970-522-1117. Donna and staff love our elderly.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and of course, we hope you enjoy our weekly interviews with Joel Skousen, and he does a great job of bringing this information forward. Now, if you have not yet gotten his books, and there are three of them, one on the secure home, certainly one on strategic location, relocation, in other words, how to convert your home into a safe place. Why, there are three of them. Just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Why should you even be worried about such things? Strategic relocation, converting your family into a safe home in case there's a natural disaster or an attack on America? Why, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to war with Iran. It's only a matter of time. We have over 100 vessels there stationed immediately adjacent to Iran. How long will the war last? What will happen? I do not know. But I'm firmly convinced that sooner or later we're going to war with Iran. It's all planned out. You're to believe that our government didn't want to do this. We were just forced into doing it. Aw, shucks. And of course, hundreds of thousands, millions of people could die. This could very well become a nuclear war, a nuclear confrontation. Pakistan has nuclear weapons over there. Many of the other nations have nuclear weapons. And when you start a war, you never know what's going to happen. And you better be prepared here to look after yourself. You can get a Berkey water filter through the American Freedom Network. I know that Don carries those, but you should have a good supply of food if you need information on that. Or on health products, we do carry those. But certainly make your preparations, because difficult times lie ahead. So I hope that the war is very, very short. I know that Joel thinks it's going to be short. My friend Dennis Kennedy thinks it's going to be short. My concern is they've been planning this for a long time, since the CIA installed the mullahs there in Tehran in 1979. When they toppled the Shah of Iran and brought the mullahs to power, it didn't make any sense in 79. Why would you topple the Shah of Iran and put in these radical mullahs? But that was 31 years ago. Now it's pretty obvious that what has happened. They know exactly what they were doing, and tragically, we've laid ourselves open to a major war in the Middle East. They plan these things generations ahead of time, because we're dealing with supernatural forces. We're involved in a spiritual battle, and that is what everybody ignores. People try to figure out what's going to happen from a logical point of view, but there's supernatural forces at work. If you haven't heard, pardon me, my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, or read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. We have a three-pamphlet set on the occult hierarchy. There is an occult hierarchy that rules the world. And we have a little pamphlet that they've even put out talking about it. It's called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy. And if you get anything from Radio Liberty, we'll be glad to provide you with a copy of this spiritual hierarchy pamphlet put out by the Luciferians. You need to see the three DVD set, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginnings, taking you into the secret societies that do exist. If you don't believe there's secret societies, you need to read the book by the leading historian of the last century, Professor Carol Quigley. His book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, actively suppressed by the people who purchased Macmillan so that the book could not be distributed. And if you doubt that, You need to get our 4-CD or 4-tape set on The Secret Government. You'll hear the interview with Professor Quigley, where he will tell you how his book was suppressed. People don't understand these things are not imaginary. They are real. They go on. Most of what you read in the newspaper, most of what you will find in books and on television is simply not true. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. Please pray for America. Our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.